things that God's working on in my life. And I felt I just needed to share some of it and some of my story. It's so the thing that came up to me is how willing are we to inconvenience ourselves for God? And so I'll just open up with a couple of scriptures, get us started, just keep it in the back of mind as I tell you some of what God's been working on. So if you turn to Luke 11, verse 28, it's a short one. Give some time. I've been told I rushed through it a bit fast last time. Luke 11, verse 28. So, and then Jesus replied, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it." And it's truly a blessing. And then another verse that we all should know very well. We spent quite a bit of time on it. Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And it's just, we have times where we hear God tell us to do something, whether it be praying for someone or giving them a word of encouragement. And at times we ask God to use us in strong ways. And it's just like, God, use us. We want to see miracles. We want to bless people. We want to see your work done, your kingdom come. But when it happens, we make excuses. We make excuses. We're not available to it. We go, I'm busy. I'm running late. I've just gotten in my car. I've just driven out. Does that mean I have to drive back, find a parking spot again, go talk to that person, and just go back to it? And just making ourselves available is a very big thing. If we make ourselves available, God will use us. A while ago, an example of this, of what not to do, of course, is... I went out shopping. I was out at JB Hi-Fi, it was a busy Saturday. And it was this couple, they were raising funds for their son. They started up a charity of sorts, and their son had passed away from cancer. So we were doing a sausage sizzle out the front of it, and the sausage sizzle had like nice onion and cheese and egg and bacon. I mean, how often do you get that at Bunnings? Like that best sausage sizzle I've had in a long time. It was very good. But anyway, while I was waiting for the sausage sizzle, I was chatting to the lady, and she's just telling me the story of how it all happened and how they're doing all the work volunteer, and they're just trying to raise funds for cancer research. They think they named this the organization after their son. I can't remember what it was, but they work, and she was telling me how her back's been really sore. She hasn't been sleeping well. And I just hear God say, pray for this. Pray for her. And I go, and to ask her to pray for her. And I go, but there's people around. There's people there. What do I think? I think I'm one of those crazy Bible bashers or crazy churches. No offense to anyone, of course. But I've thought the same of other churches before, back when I wasn't quite on the path. I've had that happen, I digress. I went out, I didn't ask her to pray for her. I drove off, and I felt it's one of the recent regrets where I've had, I should have prayed for her, even if it's go back and just bless her with $20 or something like that. I'd cash in my wallet and just go, okay, no, in all honesty, I didn't even have anything on, but I just pulled out of my parking spot, and I was like, it means I have to go find a parking spot again and everything. And so it's just something to look out for. And definitely next time because I've regretted it so much, I think next time I'll do it easier. It'll be easier to follow what God tells me. And I mean, another story was, this is just on a more positive note, listening to God. And I'm so grateful for this community, this lovely community. It's been my second family. Because my mom and dad went to Thailand and I was living by myself. And when the church just started up, they invited me along. And very soon I got involved in the church with coffee. They pulled me into a worship band. And if it wasn't for that, I think I would have been in a pretty terrible place. I mean, when we used to meet in Scarborough Community Center, we'd meet on Saturday evenings. And it's pretty inconvenient being a youngish guy, and we'd often have house parties at our house, and so we'd be spending the Saturday setting up for it. You know, you saunter out of bed at like 11 or something, but you'd be setting up, and our friends would come over early. We'd have had a nice lunch, and you'd open a few cold ones, and you'd be having a jolly good time. Like, it was really fun, and then it hit 4:30, and I go, "Uh-oh. I got to go to church, guys." It sucked. Like, I will be honest, it sucked. I was like, oh, come on. Oh, do I have to go? I'm just having fun. I'm hanging with my mates. It's such a cool part. We got music going. We got a nice bonfire going. We just, you know, had a couple of, yeah. But yeah, I'd be grumbling the whole way to church. The whole way to church, I'd be like, oh man, I wonder if it would matter if I didn't show up. But I'm like, oh, I said I'll help set up, or I'll help for coffee. I'll help do coffees, or I have to be on worship practice. They need me, and I feel sorry for any people who cut me off or drove badly in front of me, because I would not have reacted too nicely. Up until the moment I walked through the church doors, I'd be grumbling, I'd be dragging my feet, and then I walk through the church doors, and I have people like Sharon, Mark, and everyone, and Andre, and everyone just saying hi, giving me a big hug, saying, how are you going? And it's like this cloud just lifts off me, as I walk through those doors, and it's just like, wow, it's awesome to be here. I'm having fun, I'm enjoying it, and I wouldn't want to leave afterwards. I'd want to stay. We'd have closed up, we'd have locked up. I'll be chatting to everyone. It's like, I guess I have to go home now, you know. Go home, be late to the party that I'm hosting. And and yeah, so it's amazing how it works like that. It's been such a blessing just to have this community around us. And I strongly encourage anyone to get involved. We need this community that encourages us and loves us. We've got great leaders we can trust. We can open up to them, and we can be accountable to them. They keep us in line. They help us just ask us questions. It's like, hey, buddy, remember you going through that thing the other day? How's that going? And it's really someone who cares. It helps so much. I love it. I really, really love it. I encourage you to have a talk to the leaders or elders. Ask them, just talk to them of your problems. Or have them hold you accountable in your walk, in your Christian walk. It helps you grow. It's helped me grow so much. And back to being in the community around us. When I travel abroad, it's easy to do a lot of these things that I spoke about earlier, to pray for someone, to listen to God, to tell them about God, because most of the time we're with our Christian friends, because we go across as a church, we enjoy it, and we're there for that reason. But for me, the biggest thing is people don't know me there. Nobody knows me. I'm not going to have my mate who used to go to school with me come across, you know, because, I mean, I wasn't always a great guy, but when I'm there, nobody knows me. I can say what I want, and then a month later, I'll be gone anyway. Doesn't matter. It's, you know, I can bless people, and then I can go. I mean, unfortunately, my parents will have to clean up the mess, but shouldn't our mission field be everywhere we go? We should be to neighbors, our co-workers and friends, the people we'd run across in shops, like that lady that I was speaking about, and they, and in the day-to-day meetings, should we be ashamed of our faith? I've been convicted of that, like that I hid my faith, that I was hesitant to openly declare that I'm a Christian. And I mean, lately it's become more and more. There's been a lot of negativity towards Christianity. People think we just want to judge them and tell them how to live their lives. And when I used to think that way. I used to see at school, I'd see my friends say one thing about the Bible and they'd tell me how to live my life. And I'd see them on the weekends out partying and they'd be doing the complete opposite of what they said to do. You know, they said we shouldn't do it. And then here they are getting inebriated and having a jolly good time. And we should be an example. I mean, for me, a big thing is rather than telling people how to live, I just go, why shouldn't we be an example? Show them what it's like to be in a relationship with God, to love God, to nobody's perfect yet. Just to show them that we don't expect perfection. It's impossible to be perfect. Because it's not by our deeds, it's not by what we do, but by God's grace that we have been saved. As you can tell, God is busy with a lot of things in my life. He's working in me. There's still a lot of things that need work. I'm just still a bit rough around the edges, probably. Yeah. but I know that next time, if God asks me to do something, I'd be that little bit more willing. I mean, because I've regretted it so much, it's been on the back of my mind, I should have done this. Rather than saying that the whole time, just go, next time this happens, I will be more willing to do it. And if you'd like to turn to Isaiah 58, verse 11. It's just, yeah. And just be willing. Be willing to let God use you. Be available. Be there for it. Has everyone found it? Yep, cool. All right. And Isaiah 58, verse 11, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. And from this verse, we know that wherever God guides us, he will provide for us. I've seen that from mom and dad, where they've just been living in such faith, just being such strong people of faith, such an amazing example to us about how to live this life. And the times where they know God will provide. They know every day they live by faith, and God will provide for them as he has time and time and time again. And it's for us, there's a joy in serving God. God will reward us, but we don't serve for the rewards. We do it because we love him. Because he loves us for what he's done for us. He's a great heavenly father. He has adopted us into his family. We have been washed clean by the blood of his son, Jesus. And it's just, we've been redeemed. It's not by our deeds. Not by our deeds, but by God's grace and sacrifice he made for us. Amen. Yeah, sure. Yeah,
if a worship team would like to come up.
Thank you, God. Thank you that you guide us, that you provide for us, that we know wherever if we listen to you, you will provide for us, that we can go anywhere where you tell us to, and we will be provided for you. In faith, we can do that, Lord God. I pray that you'll be working in our hearts, that wherever we go, that we know that you are there for us, that when we get those promptings in our heart, that we will be available to you, Lord God, available to be used, available for you to do your works, to see your kingdom come and your will be done on heaven, in earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for that, God. I pray that you'll be with us for the rest of the evening and through the week, Lord God. And Lord God, we love you. We love you with all our hearts, Lord God. May your name be lifted up. Amen.